It's an opportunity for the military, medical, scientific community, the research interests of various academic institutions, industry, national and international interests to convene to meet about what the advances have been in a number of areas that are primarily focused on the warfighter, on our operational capabilities as it relates to medical. Todd, did you wish to add any?
I would only add that that the event includes and will be, you know, filled with uniformed service personnel with very recent operational experience. And as Admiral Dahl encourages us, you know, the best science comes from the bedside, you know, from the user community. And boy, as an individual who helps guide research and research priorities, there's nothing better than having the opportunity to meet with these uniformed personnel who will be at the meeting, who've had recent operational experience, whether it's you know, deployed experience in sort of combat operations or operational experiences otherwise. It's important for us to interact with them, to hear their stories, and to understand as a research community what their real-time needs are, and that's another important facet of the meeting.
And when we say research that's focused on the warfighter, I imagine that's a broad spectrum of things, but can you say a little bit more about the kinds of knowledge that you expect to be shared?
Absolutely. I'll put it into several general categories, which will capture large portions of the overall effort. There is first an interest in the disease surveillance, infectious diseases, interest in regenerative medicine as far as the challenges we face with individuals who've had limbs amputated, an interest in combat casualty care, which Colonel Rasmussen is in charge of, an interest in what we call operational medicine, which encompasses a number of aspects from what you could call the in-garrison capabilities, where individuals are not necessarily in theater, but there are demands on them, training, et cetera, their health at all times, to watch for opportunities to improve on that, with a focus on discovering, developing, and delivering products. We look at this meeting and at these areas as general categories where there will be individual presenters to provide what's the newest, what's the cutting edge, what's the direction that they're headed, is it consistent with priorities that the combatant commanders and our very senior most leadership and government have identified as we need this as a new or improved medical capability.
What's the value you've gotten from this in past years? I mean, are there concrete examples you can give us of sort of research breakthroughs that have been shared in this forum and then kind of propagated throughout military medicine or even out into the private world?
Absolutely. And what I'm going to do is suggest a tag team, because it's sure. My privilege to have Colonel Rasmussen on, who is a surgeon and has lived this existence. But let me allow some general comments first. With an emphasis on force health protection and readiness, we focus on making sure that the warfighter goes into theater knowing that the best and brightest, whether in military or with our partnerships with academics and industry, are working on ways that in their performance of those tasks, in whether it's air, land, or sea, and unique challenges and unique injuries are sustained there, that they can perform to their best. If they're injured, that they're then going to come back to a system that is benefiting from our efforts to provide state-of-the-art care always. So if we look at one specific statistic, and that is that in the increased severity that individuals have been injured, and literally over that engagement in Afghanistan and in Iraq, one has seen that the injury severity has increased. Concurrent with that, because of the advances that military medicine has made through research, the survival rate has improved. The very injuries that would have killed individuals, or at the very least been lethal, over a period of time after they sustained that injury, during World War II, Vietnam, and subsequent conflicts of smaller scales, these would have been life-ending. And now these individuals are surviving. So with that general overview, I'll turn it over to Colonel Rasmussen.
Sure.
You know, one example probably in the late 2000s, I don't remember which meeting it was, 2008 or 2009, you know, there was breaking science that was presented that pertained to the use of blood component-based resuscitation. So this was a scientific endeavor that had been supported by the military's medical research program that had looked at the efficacy of how best to replete someone's blood volume after they've been wounded and bled. And the results of the research that were presented in the late 2000s were, you know, it was groundbreaking results that are presented at this meeting on how best to use blood products, be it plasma, platelets, or packed red blood cells, and in what ratios. And it's presented to this meeting of, you know, anywhere between, 500 and 1,000 attendees. And so that's an example of presentation of novel research results that are communicated broadly to the, you know, to this spectrum of participants in the meeting, allowing those participants to take notes, to take that information into their clinical practices and into their research considerations. So certainly the reporting of what we call blood component-based resuscitation is one example of major science that has been presented at this meeting venue, changing practice not only for military trauma surgery, but also for civilian trauma surgery. You know, just last year, as a second example, there was a panel that was convened on the first day of the MHSRS. Again, I suspect the room was filled with 1,200 people that day. And the panel consisted of Joint Trauma System, or JTS, members. It consisted of individuals from the Uniformed Services University, the Veterans Health Administration, and then our research community, and our combat developers. And the discussion was really a patient-based discussion. It was a panel that focused on real instances of operational scenarios in uniform personnel. And during that discussion, because of its really very unique, transfederal collaborative composition, meaning military, civilian, VA, DOD. In fact, there was members of the Food and Drug Administration there to discuss patient care operational scenarios. With that, I think provided a tremendous insight into, you know, all of the components that have to come together to, you know, as Admiral Dahl said, to discover, develop, and deliver solutions for the warfighter, be it something that helps him or her perform better and have better stamina and health on the battlefield, or helps him or her recover more fully after a, you know, severe combat-related injury.
When I think of the dissemination of medical knowledge, I sort of think of that happening through scholarly journal articles. Say a little bit more, if you can, about the value of having this face-to-face contact with your peers rather than just reading each other's work.
Well, and I would add that face-to-face, despite all the other options that we currently have to communicate, I think remains the most valuable for the purposes of unexpected paths that these conversations take. We derive, I think, a great deal of credibility from being in person and presenting and then either defending or refuting others' research. The scrutiny that research should be subject to is a shared value among those that make this meeting an important event in their annual series of places that they participate. So the idea that we can derive more value from being face-to-face, from seeing the evidence, from impromptu, away from the lecture discussions, and there are many. In fact, some would say that it's in between the presentations that you can actually establish connections that lead to other collaborative efforts and in turn lead to project development. So it is what you could in some way call an incubator for these very talented, experienced scientists, medical researchers, and clinicians to say, these are my problems. What is your background? Who do I need with expertise to potentially collaborate? And many times, a number of those representatives or organizations that they're part of are there.